Well, I hope you guys had an awesome Thanksgiving holidays. I know that my family certainly did. We had all of our family in, or most all of them, and it was an awesome time. I certainly agree with Bradley Joe in his prayer this morning. This is a really great time of the year. I love it. And the fact that we kind of take a little more time to be conscious of our blessings during November, and then in the month of December, our world gets a little kinder, and we focus a little bit more on Jesus and his sacrifice for us and the love of God. For that reason, during November, we preach the whole month of November on Thanksgiving. And for that reason, we are going to spend this whole month talking about Jesus. And what better way to start than with the greatest truth that this world has ever known. And that is that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know that this is probably one of the most popular texts in all of the Bible. It's called the Golden Text. And it's a great truth, the greatest truth. And this verse means so much for at least two reasons. One, it touches on the scope of God's plan. Someone has said that this is the Bible in one verse, and there's a lot of truth in that. For the second reason, it's filled with superlatives and supreme words and suggestions of some of the most wonderful and some of the greatest things that this world has ever known. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to take this verse and we want to look at some of the great things that it reminds us of. And it begins with the greatest being, God. Even as the world and man and all good things began with God, so does this verse. For God so loved the world. Here is the greatest beings. Our mind just cannot really conceive all of the awesomeness and the greatness of God, because he's an infinite God, and our minds are such a finite thing. Paul said in Ephesians 3 and verse 20 that he is able to do far abundantly more above all that we ask or think. He's God. He's the greatest of all. God is greater than our mind can comprehend. It's just that he's just God. The forever, the creator of all things. And to really comprehend God, we'd have to be his equal. And one thing we can absolutely know is we are not God. And so this verse begins with the greatest being, God. But then it continues with the greatest trait. For God so loved. Love is the greatest of all human emotions. It's the highest, holiest, noblest, purest, strongest, and most enduring of all emotions. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, the Apostle Paul wrote there, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." And God declares this greatest trait to the greatest degree. that God was able to love. In Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19, it talks about the dimensions of God's love, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge. We can see in this statement the length of God's love, because God was willing to go all the way in loving us. But not just because we were lovable, because we were really not. Which brings us to the next thought, and that is the greatest company. For God so loved the world. To whom did God extend this greatest trait? Well, He gives it to all of mankind. To all of those that have ever lived, to all of those that live now, and to all that will ever live, God extends this greatest love. And did that while we were not so lovable. A sinful, a disobedient, a world in darkness. In fact, Paul writes in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrated His love toward usward, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave the greatest act. God gave. And one of the characteristics about love is that love is giving. Even we can understand that. As parents and grandparents, we love our children and we want to give them something. We enjoy giving to our family because we love them. And God, in this greatest act, gave us a great and marvelous gift. Someone has said that three acts that bring us closer to the divine than anything is giving, forgiving, and thanksgiving. And all three of those find their root in the word giving. He gave the greatest act. But then we go on and we see that what He gave was the greatest gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God showed the greatness of His love by the greatness of what He has given, the greatest gift. Men have given great gifts. Some wealthy people have donated awesome amounts of money to things, especially here lately in view of all of the tragedies, the hurricanes and the earthquakes and the fires, and we've seen football players give millions of dollars to their cities that they grew up in that were affected and destroyed by these floods and these tornadoes and so on. We've seen these movie stars that have had concerts that raised millions of dollars. And they gave as a gift to help offset some of the cost of the destruction that was caused by these tragedies. And then the greatest gift that man can make has been given by those that have given their lives in service of our country. What a great and awesome gift that was. but none compare to the gift that God has given. Consider what God gave. He gave His Son. Not just a son. He gave His Son. And He gave His only begotten Son. And God didn't just give His only Son. He gave His only Son to die and to suffer as a sacrifice for us. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, where he says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." In the King James Version, it says, "for His unspeakable gift." Simply trying to impress upon us the magnitude of the gift that God gave. It was the greatest gift. And He says that He gave His Son that whoever believes on Him, the greatest opportunity. We talked about God, we've talked about Christ, now we talk about ourselves. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word, whoever, proclaims the greatest opportunity this world has ever known. The provisions of God's love are for everyone. In Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus' great commission to His disciples was go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The word whoever should have a great meaning for us, because included in that whoever is me. There's a song that we sing, and I really like the song. It's not in our book, so we don't ever get to really sing it here. I think that Brother Charles has sang it before, but the lyrics is whosoever meaneth me. And that's exactly right. This whosoever means me. But now we have to understand that whoever in that great truth places upon us a responsibility. The world is made up of whoever wills and whoever wants. And we have to decide whether we will accept this greatest gift or whether we won't. A decision that is truly and simply ours. But to accept it means a great promise, as we will soon see. And to reject it, a great tragedy. So, then that brings us to this truth, the greatest foundation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him. So what we must do is take advantage of this great opportunity. Our text talks about that whoever believes in Him will never perish, should not perish, but it'll have everlasting life. And so we see that this belief becomes a foundation for not only becoming a Christian, but as a foundation for staying a Christian. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, a very powerful passage says that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But it should be stressed that this word believe in John 3 and verse 16 does not simply mean a mental accepting of the fact that Jesus is God's Son. but carries along with it an obedience to what he has said. In John chapter 2 and verse 20, John makes it very clear that faith without obedience is dead. And so this faith that we're talking about, Paul wrote in Galatians 5 and verse 6 and said, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything." But now watch this. "But faith working through love." Faith that's active. Faith that's working. Faith that's obedient. That's the kind of faith that John is talking about here in chapter 3 and verse 16. A faith that builds a foundation motivated by love that motivates us to repent of our sins, Luke 13 and verse 3. And to confess that Jesus is the Christ, Matthew 10 and verse 32. And to be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. So this great foundation that John is talking about here in believing in Jesus is not simply to accept the fact that he is the Son of God, but to accept him as the way, the truth, and the life, knowing that no one will come to the Father except by him. Which leads us to the fact of the greatest attraction. What produces this faith? It is produced in the fact that it is founded in Christ. There's your basis. There's your rock upon which to build your life. There is the yesterday, today, and forever. There's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is that foundational truth that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus makes salvation possible because he is the greatest attraction. Jesus himself said in John 12 and verse 12, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Our faith is not built upon some man or some doctrine or even some religious system. It is founded upon the Christ who died for us and was raised to live again so that we too can live. And if we have this faith, what will be the result? Well, it says that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Our obedient faith will prevent the greatest tragedy to all mankind, and that is the tragedy of being separated from God. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, there Paul writes and says, "You are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and obey not the gospel, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the face of God and the glory of his power." The greatest tragedy that man will ever know is to be separated from God. But this little word is the greatest difference. For God so loved the world, gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm so glad that this verse didn't end with the word perish. But on one side of this little word, we have the word perish. On the other side of this word, we have the word, the truth of everlasting life. And that difference makes all the difference. But then finally, and most assuredly, we have the greatest promise, that we can have eternal life. Here is the greatest promise that God can give man. And that is, I'll bring you back home to a place where he'll wipe away all tears from every eye. There'll no longer be any death, and there'll be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. For these former things have passed away. Revelation 21 and verse 4. So here you have the heart of the gospel story. God, the greatest being. So love, the greatest trait. The world, the greatest company. He gave the greatest act. His only begotten Son, the greatest gift. That whoever, the greatest opportunity. Believes, the greatest foundation. In Him, the greatest attraction. Shall not perish, the greatest tragedy. But the greatest difference. Have eternal life. The greatest promise. You may not understand all the Bible, but do you understand this verse? My friend, if you understand this verse, then what would keep you from failing to obey this truth? Knowing that on this side of disobedience, there is separation from God. But on this side of acceptance and obedience, there's the wonder of eternal life. Will you come while together we stand and sing?